Welcome everyone and thank you for joining us for another edition of the U Fancast, now powered by BlockU.com and the SB Nation Network. I'm Steven, along with our co-host Alex and our producer Shane, and we're coming to you as we always do from the Red Zone store in Sandy, Utah. Remember to get all of your Utah Utes merchandise at any of their four locations in Sandy, West Jordan, Salt Lake City, and Layton. Call the Sandy store at 801-523-9173 or go online to uredzone.com. The next game on the schedule, which will be this Saturday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, Utah travels to Palo Alto, California to take on Stanford. Stanford is 5-4, 3-3 on the season, similarly to Utah in the Pac-12. Utah is 6-3 and still ranked number 25 in the AP poll. Guys, what do you guys see from this game?
So I was looking up some stats for Stanford today, and obviously their offense has struggled at times this year, but they have the best defense in the Pac-12. They're in the top 10 pretty much.
I'll take exception to the best defense in the Pac-12, but I see your point. Continue.
They're...
Statistically.
Yeah. Their scoring defense is... It's only... The only teams that are better are like Alabama and Ole Miss, I think. And
because they play in a league that doesn't score.
I know. But, you know, Stanford, they're also only giving up about 100 yards rushing in conference. I think 110 for the season. You know, and they've played a lot of similar teams to what Utah's played. Their pass defense is good.
Excuse me for a second, Alex, but I just had a thought. I mean, you know, the SEC is considered the best league, bar none, in the NCAA, in the FBS, okay? But isn't it interesting to anyone else that quarterbacks who win national championships flame out in the NFL? Heisman Trophy winning running backs, you know, disappear from the NFL after a couple of years, you know, things like that. I mean, clearly their defensive players are staunch, they're studly, you know. But it's interesting how their offensive players don't do very well.
Yeah.
Look at one of the Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks from Florida. I mean, he bounced around to three different teams, and finally somebody had to say, "Guy can't play the position."
Well, he is as boneheaded. He probably could have been anywhere else on the field and still be playing, but for some reason he thinks he's a quarterback, and obviously.
I thought he thought he was Jesus.
You look at a guy like A.J. McCarron, who
yes!
won two national championships.
Two national championships.
He was like a fourth-round pick. You know, the only...
Well, hold on. His biggest claim to fame is look at his fiance.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Oh, is she the fiance now?
I'm pretty sure they got engaged. Even so, his significant other. Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
That's better than those two national championships.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's
Musburger
probably
liked
her.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, he was creepy.
He's a creeper. All right, so you were saying.
The only good SEC quarterback that I can think of, and I may be missing one, but the only one I can think of is Peyton Manning that's currently in the – and I guess you could Eli. And Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Yeah. I guess you got to give him –
on the TV.
He played at Auburn for a year, but – Yeah, he's been up and down.
He played
in the NFL.
Florida too.
That's
you remember
true.
He transferred out of Florida. He
played at Blinn Community College.
At Blinn, that's right. In fact, who came after him? At
Terrence Kane.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so Shane, what do you see out of this game?
Oh man, Stanford's not as good this year. I think their defense is good, but I think it might be a hair overrated. They don't have the studs that they've had in the past. They still got, you know, some of them, but, you know, they don't have, you know, the Shane Scoves and stuff like that mm-hmm. were just, you know, kind of ball hawk in the middle of the field. They're definitely stout, no doubt about that. Offensively, they don't have that bell cow running back that they've had the last five seasons. They still got the stud on the outside, and I'm spacing on his
name. Ty Montgomery.
I mean, he's still there.
6'2", 220.
Yeah. He burned Utah last year.
They lined him up at running back a little bit this year.
They'll put him in the Wildcat, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I've seen him in the Wildcat.
They'll throw him in the Wildcat.
And they'll have him as a running back in, like, a shotgun set with Kevin Hogan.
Yeah.
You know what? Just crazy. I would bet they line him up in the Wildcat and try and throw on us this game.
It wouldn't surprise me. They're coming off a bye week.
Yeah,
it won't surprise me at all.
That's
and David Shaw.
Me.
I mean, David Shaw is an offensive. He was the offensive coordinator under Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. So he definitely runs that show. Offensive line wise, I'm not sure how good they are. So
you
I'm
know
not
what?
Sure
let me interrupt you for just a second. Am I the only one who is totally impressed with David Shaw? I mean,
how
talk about
be?
It. Seriously, I mean. He loses basically a chance at the national title against Utah, and instead of going, well, we threw that game away, or, oh, you know, we had our chances and couldn't do it, the first thing he does is give Utah credit.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Stanford grad. He's a smart man.
He is a very smart man, and he speaks very well.
He does.
But more than anything else, you know, he gives credit where credit is due, and that guy is a man. Yeah. In every single time he speaks, I go, gosh, I love that guy, you know?
He's real, and that's the thing.
Kind of like Whittingham.
Yeah.
A lot.
The funny thing, after that Notre Dame game that Stanford lost in South Bend, obviously Stanford gave up a touchdown on fourth down, or else they'd have won the game.
Right. Yep.
And after the game, the reporter looks at Shaw, he's like, so... talk to me about the coverage that you gave up the touchdown on.
He said there wasn't any.
There wasn't any coverage. He's like, I'm not saying that to be a jerk. It's honest. There was no coverage. There was no guy on him.
The guy was like jumping up and down in the end zone. Throw me the ball.
Yeah. So,
there was none.
Yeah, he's like, there was none. So
I love that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I root for Shaw, no doubt about it. He's a good coach. I just think what you see with Stanford. I think,
as opposed to a coach like, say, Sarkisian, or even the predecessor, you know.
Anybody that's really went to that school.
just about any USC coach.
Or even the predecessor to Stanford, you know, Harbaugh. Not a big fan of him either. No. But
well, I don't know enough about Helfrich to dislike him. I think Chip Kelly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kelly was a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, he was a bit of a jerk.
Again, you know, how can you not like Shaw?
No, I think the key with Shaw and with Stanford in general is I think we're starting to see this cycle, because with Stanford, I think you can only stay up for so long before some of the attrition happens. Then I don't know if they'll go as far down as they have, but then, you know, they'll probably come back up and we might be seeing that right now, because they're definitely not as deep and definitely not as strong. I think Utah's the better team in this game. And I think Utah's got, and I tweeted this out earlier, I think they got to use Kalen Clay, and they got to use Kenrick Young. Because Kenrick Young is now a starter.
Yeah.
Use that speed, man. Get him on the outside.
I think gray squatters are starters at this point.
Possibly.
Jamison Field was like a...
he was mentioned as well.
Yeah. He's actually looked really good in practice during the season. He had a couple catches where... You know, he was laying out, is jumping up as high as he could.
Now's the time to give Wallace Gonzalez some run.
I think Gonzalez, unfortunately, is going to be doing a medical redshirt, I heard.
Oh, really?
I think he suffered. He played in a game or two, but I think he suffered an injury or something. I'm not totally sure. I heard something to that end. But they've moved him to defensive end.
Right.
Yeah, so essentially Stanford doesn't strike fear into my heart. I mean, it's on the road, which is concerning, although Utah's played well on the road this year.
They have. They've
played better on the road than they have at home.
They have less losses on the road.
I think this team is going to rally a little bit. And I think with it being on the road, also Stanford doesn't traditionally, unless you're Oregon or a big game, I don't think they sold the Pac-12 championship game out a few years ago.
Well, part of that was there was a torrential downpour.
Yeah, it was raining.
And it was a Friday, so it was terrible Bay Area traffic. But yeah, you're right, they did not sell it.
So I'm not that worried about any kind of crowd factor. It's just, does Utah rally and do they take care of business? Because frankly, I think Utah should win this game.
You know, this is kind of a bizarre little thing, but Utah returns to Palo Alto for the first time since 1996. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I believe the last game there was either 89 or 90, which was the Great San Francisco Earthquake.
Really?
Utah played there just after the Great San Francisco Earthquake, and there was a 5.6 aftershock that ripped through the stadium in the third quarter when Utah had just taken the lead on Stanford.
Wow.
Yeah. So Utah rocked the stadium in Palo Alto, and hopefully that happens again.
That's cool.
You know, Coach Whittingham talked today during his press conference that, you know, they are very stout on defense, but he doesn't think that, you know, they're as potent offensively as they have been in the past. They're throwing more. They're not, you know, running quite as much of the power running game. Kevin Hogan is a better runner than a passer, not a very accurate quarterback, really.
And I think the lack of a running game, you know, Kevin Hogan, he's not a bad quarterback, but
he's serviceable.
He's much better on play action when, you know,
when he has a running threat.
He needs a good running back to help open up the passing game for him.
Definitely.
And he doesn't have that this year. And the offensive line, despite the fact that they're all 4 or 5 star recruits, it hasn't been as good. You know, losing 4 offensive line starters is going to hurt anybody, even Stanford.
Sure, absolutely. So. Well, and you know, if this had been last season, I wouldn't give Utah a chance to beat Stanford in Palo Alto. Mm-hmm. This year, like Shane says, this team doesn't scare me. This team doesn't worry me. In fact, I'm totally going to pick Utah to win this game because I think Utah is, and this isn't the homer in me. This is me looking at the teams and saying, I think defensively, they're probably even. Overall, maybe they might be a better defense. The defensive line is definitely Utah, advantage Utah.
All-American center from Oregon said, no disrespect to Stanford, but Utah's got the better front seven.
Yeah. Well, so again, I think the defenses are even. I think Utah has the better offense, even with the players lost. Yep. I think Utah still has the better offense, especially with Booker.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Stanford
doesn't have a
Booker.
Wilson, too.
I think Wilson is actually, this year, a better quarterback than Kevin Hogan.
The key.
I think you could say that.
And offensively, the key is the guy in the booth.
Yeah.
How does he scheme, and what does he call, and does he
I think
play
he
to
made
win
some
the game?
Good. I think he made some good play calls in that.
I liked
the game call against Oregon.
As a whole, I really
look at the game that Erickson called against Stanford last year.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what worked for Utah against Oregon. It was basically what they did against Stanford last year.
Rob the middle of the field because
with Tonga.
And that's one thing that bugs me is when they call plays for Travis is it feels like, okay, let's roll your left, throw to the boundary, roll your right, throw to the boundary. It's like Travis is, he's best when he can push the ball down the field.
Yeah,
obviously, we saw with Clay and the touchdown pass to Tonga, which was fantastic.
It was. That was a great
call. Well, and both were play action calls.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, Stanford is definitely a better defense than Oregon, so you got to be aggressive and more selectly, but take shots.
Yeah.
Well, but we also know that traditionally Stanford defensive backs can't handle Pac-12 wide receivers.
Unless you have Richard Sherman. Yeah.
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 But even Sherman, he was only like a 4th-round pick out of Stanford.
He's a converted wide receiver, so it took him a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in any case, you know, again, the defenses are even. I think Utah's offense is better. The special teams is definitely in Utah's favor. I mean, assuming that Utah doesn't have a disaster, all signs point to Utah winning this game, even in Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to our picks. I'm just going to straight up say Utah wins this game. I'm going to make it 31-21. What about you, Alex?
I'm going to take Utah. I've been picking against them, and every time I picked against them, they had won until the last 2 weeks. And, you know, and I agree, Stanford doesn't scare me. I think, you know, especially if Utah can get pressure on Hogan, maybe get an interception, really rattle him, I don't think they've got the running back, and they've got talent at wide receiver, no doubt, but I think Utah's defensive line can get pressure, and I think the offense will be able to move the ball. I'm not going to go as high scoring as you. I see it more of like a, I don't know, a 27-21 like it was last year kind of game. You know, not super high scoring, because I think both the defenses are definitely the better part of each of the teams.
Except that I think that after this game against Oregon, I think that we saw some light bulbs go off with the offensive staff saying, hey, you know what? We can put up some points. We've got to take our shots. And I think they will against Stanford.
Yeah.
Shane, what about you?
I'm going to go Utah 34-17.
He's looking for a blowout.
They're due. Absolutely. I think the percentages have to come around eventually. I think the defense scores some points. I think it's one of those things where maybe not necessarily pick six, but, you know, a scoop and score type of thing. I think that can happen. I think watch out for Kalen Clay. I think there's a lot of motivation out of that young man right now. Same thing with Kenneth Scott. Now he, without a doubt, is the leader of the wide receiving core. And Coach Witt said he's been battling some stuff, which nobody's known about. So
right. I mean, today was the first time that we have known that he's had season-long nagging injuries.
Yeah, but a lot's going to be on him, at least in terms of rallying that wide receiving core to rally around Travis Wilson. And the funny thing is, you know, coming out of Rice-Eccles Stadium Saturday night, obviously there's a lot of pissed off people because our fans are stupid. But I had a big old grin on my face because obviously Oregon fans, they're Oregon fans, and Alex and I touched on that briefly before we went on the airs.
You know what? I heard a lot of people say that the fans that they encountered were actually fairly classy.
Yeah, there wasn't very many of them then. They weren't around me. At least knowledgeable. I just kind of had a grin on my face. I'm like, you guys know what just happened? It's like, yeah, you guys put up 51 points. Good for you. But and as you said in the write-up after the game, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
And Utah was within 3 points halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
That's it, you know? And, I mean,
you know,
Utah was a few plays, a few mistakes away from winning that game.
Yeah, and then
you look at 51-27 and you say Utah got rolled, but Utah really didn't get rolled.
No.
It didn't get out of hand until the last bit of the fourth quarter.
Well, and even then, I mean, the amazing thing is, you know, you're sitting in the stadium and, you know, Oregon goes up a couple scores, and then at that point you're like, oh, okay, this is where the floodgates might open.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
Utah rallied back every single time.
Yep.
And I you know, you look back over the
course
of...
Without its starting quarterback.
Yep.
Quote unquote.
But who started the game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure they game planned for Kendall Thompson.
Well,
you know, and they had to change it scheme.
Yeah, but what
offensively,
I'm
Utah had to.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is Utah kept fighting back with, and again, yes, Travis Wilson has been a starter, but what was then the backup quarterback?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I close my eyes, I think, back on the season, you know, the Washington State game, the Arizona State game. You know, there's been a lot of close games. But I kind of feel like, and the reason I had this grin is, like, I kind of feel like this Utah program, they have this Rubik's Cube in their hand at the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah.
And they're just a couple rotations away from really
figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody knows that yet. And I just have this gut feeling that they're that one piece away from not just being they're a good team right now. And that's very comfortable to say.
Yeah.
They're a piece away from being, dare I say, a great team.
Yeah.
A championship level team.
They're a solid number one quarterback away.
Well, no, yeah. I don't even know if just that. Just,
comfort.
Because,
like you said, Utah hasn't been able to figure out the quarterback situation all year.
Yeah, it's just one of those. And that's why I walked out, so like, all these Oregon fans were gloating. I'm like, hold on. You guys have your fun. You guys are really good. Don't get me wrong.
Mariota's gone.
Mariota carried that team that night.
Absolutely. And are they as good next year? Probably not.
And we have them week four next year. So yeah. We'll see you guys next year at Autzen, and we'll see what happens, because I think Utah's getting close to making that final rotation on that Rubik's Cube.
Well, look at everything that comes back next year.
I know, that's yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's actually kind of scary if you look at it. All the quarterbacks come back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the quarterbacks come back.
All the running backs come back.
Well, Tevin Carter may come back.
All
this
five,
year.
If Putasi stays, all five of the offensive linemen come mm-hmm. back next year.
Yeah, so
because Salt was benched and they slotted in.
Look at the defensive line.
Yeah,
you lose Nate Orchard, which is a pretty big thing. But
they get Kylie Fitz.
You get Kylie Fitz, and you still have
Lowell's a year older. He'll go through more.
You still have Finica.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he's been good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
you've got depth. You've got talent along that front four.
Yeah.
All of the linebackers come back.
Pitt has looked good off the edge.
Yeah, Pitt Talmoipenu.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So
get him
I'm not saying Utah's going to boat race this conference, because that's not going to happen.
No, but what
they will be a perennial contender.
They could be like
okay, we lose Stanford both of was. Our we lose both of our safeties. Let's just say that because. You know, Eric Rowe's been back and forth. But let's just say we lose both safeties. But
you lose two in the secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you lose two in the secondary, but given injuries and
you get Reggie
whatever,
Porter back next year.
You have had a lot of young players play really well
as freshmen. Sophomores.
And they get a year of experience, game experience against top teams.
Yeah.
How many times have
next
you seen?
Next year, you've got 2 4-star DBs coming in.
Yeah.
Two. You've got
Butler.
Tevin Carter possibly coming back.
Yep.
Okay, so you've got three really good DBs. You've got Porter returning from an injury.
Ahmad
and then
Christian.
Again Ahmad Christian. That's the other I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then you've got all of the freshmen back who got a lot of run this
you
year.
You got Domo.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you also have
Godfrey?
Silently the best corner on the team might be Justin Thomas.
He's good in the slot.
He's been very good.
How many guys have
and
you seen make catches on
off?
Thomas?
Not many.
Not
and
a lot.
And he's good on blitzes. I think he had a sack against ASU.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he's got a couple sacks this year.
So, and that's why I kind of, when I'm picking this game and I kind of get this grin on my face against Stanford, I'm like, no, we're having some fun now, because you can kind of see the trajectory of the team over since we joined the conference. Obviously, they had a pretty decent amount of talent the first year, but you know there were some teams that were down. You know, 8 wins, and then obviously some injuries, attrition, bad luck, and then now things are starting to come back around. And as Coach Witt has said, it's a process, and they're building. And I know you don't like that, Steve, and you said, you know, we never heard that before, but you kind of see it coming around to where okay, now the shelves are starting to fill. Bounces are bouncing the right way. Next year, you have 7 home games. There's a lot of
I don't like
juju.
I don't like the term process, but what I can buy into is, I can buy into trajectory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I buy, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look at the final 3 games, Utah's 6-3.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, far beyond what Utah fans would have expected. And let's be honest, not one of us wrote in a win against Oregon at the beginning of the season.
You did.
Did I?
Yeah.
I think you did pick it.
You did.
Well, it was there. It was there for the picking.
And that's the thing is, I think a lot of us were tempted.
Well, again, it was there at the beginning. It was there for the game. It was there, ripe for the picking. They nearly pulled it off, except for mistakes and injuries, and I mean, the wheels completely came off in that game. It was just horrible, you know. But you look at the last 3 games. Utah has a very good chance to beat Stanford and Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come home to face Arizona, which is a beatable team.
Yeah,
and the kind of team that Utah could beat.
A less good Oregon, basically.
Yeah.
Arizona's defense is nothing special. Their offense is good, but their defense is nothing special.
So Utah has the better defense. Arizona probably has slightly better offense, but they haven't played really well against defenses like Utah's.
No.
And then they get Colorado, who is a team that they should smash even in Boulder.
Yeah.
Utah could win the last 3 games.
And go 9-3.
And win a 4th game as a bowl game.
And then you've got a bowl game, okay? So just pie in the sky projecting, okay? Utah could finish the season 10-4. If Utah finishes the season 10-4, with everything they've got coming back, there is no doubt in my mind they start the season in the top 25.
Yep. Oh, no doubt. I mean, they're still in the 25 right now, and we have three losses.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Think about that.
And those are in the two worthless polls. Yeah. The real poll comes out tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and I still think they're going to have Utah ranked in the top 25.
I do too.
Just based off of how this committee's working.
They didn't have Utah fall after losing to ASU. They stayed at 17.
And then if they actually watched the game like they say they do, they would have watched that game and said, "Wait a minute, Oregon got 51 points, but."
It was tied all the way into the fourth quarter.
It was 30-27 midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was, hopefully Oregon goes on and wins a national championship, not for their fan base, but for the conference.
Honestly, Utah has to root for either of the teams that beat them. There's no reason to root for Oregon. No. I mean, Arizona State could beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
You know, either one, but we have to have a one-loss, team. And, it was really funny. I was listening to Dan Patrick. This is a little off the subject, but I was listening to Dan Patrick this morning, and he was talking about Alabama getting in over Arizona State. And I thought to myself, if Arizona State beats Oregon, there is no way a second-tier SEC team gets in over a one-loss Pac-12 champion.
Yep.
Champion. Yeah. Okay. And it's my understanding that one of the requirements, one of the selection criteria, is conference championships.
I don't know if it's a requirement, but I know it's at minimum heavily considered.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right, fans, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to get on to basketball in the next episode. So we'll wrap it up here at the Red Zone for the UFANcast and BlockU.com. As always, a big thank you to all of our fans and listeners. Remember to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, check out our YouTube and Ustream channels, and visit BlockU.com. Remember to check out all of the articles at BlockU.com written by myself, Shane, and Alex, Adia, and all of our other contributors. We'll see you next time.